Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So we were talking NFL yesterday, and obviously I've got Bears, Lions thoughts being a Bears fan and just watching all of that unfold. But I'm really more interested in the storyline that we've been talking a lot about today. Not you and I, but it's been the talk of the day and really of last night. The amount of penalties in that game between Dallas and Vegas. 28 penalties on both sides. Each team had 14 penalties called against them.
So from it was a fair. Betting,
well, it was. You're right. It was fair.
Or was it? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it was fair, but
some of them were just absolutely ridiculous holding plays that, you know, and a lot, there are holds on just
roughing
about every single play.
Roughing the pass.
That's outlandish.
That was
just
tough.
Completely.
Even Romo was like, who is, can be sarcastic more than other commentators, was pretty like straightforward. Like they come back for the next play out of replay and he just goes, I know there are a lot of penalties, Jim. That wasn't even close to a penalty. And they just continue with the next play. And it's like, okay, all right, we're on to the next one.
Yeah. Because we're used to it now, but we're not used to it to the point where it's not enraging a lot. I mean, there was a pass interference call on a ball that was like 10 feet over the receiver's head on the right sideline. And Romo said Jordan in his prime isn't getting to that or something like that, something to that effect. When you're betting, like, how much are you thinking about these things? Like, I feel like you can't. You can't go into a game worrying about officiating. But how do you not, you know, like, how do you not let it creep into your subconscious when you're placing bets on games? Because you don't know how the officiating is going to affect things.
Sure. I think the easy explanation, I have a lot of thoughts on this, actually. So you've kind of opened a little can of worms going here. This is a good topic.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm happy to have you.
I love worms.
That wasn't really what I was implying, but great. Happy to hear it.
Okay.
My kind of general answer is, like, when you're handicapping a game, whether you're doing something like mathematical or you're just thinking about a game kind of conceptually or like pen and paper, whatever you want to do, is you're not really going to put a lot of effort into handicapping the refs. And we're going to talk about pro football specifically, because I think in every sport, the answer would be actually a little bit different. We can get into that in a second. But in pro football, especially, I can just tell you for me, like, if it's, you know, Sean Hockley or another official, doesn't really matter. Like, it's not, I'm not going to be like, well, you know, Dallas is 8-0 in their last eight games that Sean Hockley has reffed or something, or, you know, this crew is more likely to throw this flag. So that could be something that comes up. Usually that's an angle that comes up for the Super Bowl, because we have so much time between the games. Somebody invents it and puts it out there and everyone picks it up and kind of runs with it. Just to me, all that stuff is really overblown. There's just so much randomness in all of those things. Like, what, you know, the officials are obviously all seeing the game differently. The idea that they have like a consensus opinion on something, it's probably more randomness than that they're like actively calling something more than another crew. What if there actually were more pass interference calls in the games that they had? Then you would, you know, how would you figure that out from the fact that they were throwing them on more questionable plays? Apparently, and we'll get an update on Dayton, Kansas from Tyler in a second, who's like going crazy in our chat right now. Basically.
I see him.
So Tyler, I'm going to keep telling the story. Gather yourself. And I want a full report here in a couple minutes.
Relax, Tyler.
But I want to know everything that happened while you're like screaming and gathering yourself. So, So in pro football, I put like no stock into, you know, whether it's totals, which you would, you know, obviously officials in some sports have a big impact on, or especially sides like, oh, this crew is going to favor this team. In pro football, I can't find really like a lot of evidence that it's worthwhile to put effort into that. Maybe people can end up squeezing some edge out of that, basically, but I can't. But I do think in other sports, there are some opportunities to at least take advantage of that information. And like, I don't handicap baseball with any level of expertise whatsoever. But I would imagine if you did, it would really, really matter to know who the home plate umpire was, for example.
Strike zones
because
matter.
There's a massive difference in quality and strike zone. So that would be one. In the NBA, we've had Tim Donaghy. We've had situations where officials have put their thumb on the scale a little bit in terms of trying to alter games. And that shows you that an NBA ref has that power, basically, that if he wanted to, he could do that. And we're not even saying that it's quote unquote happened. And I know there's like a lot of like lawsuits going on still about some of that stuff. But, you know, I think NBA refs can impact with fouls called, can impact totals a little bit in terms of how often they call fouls. So it just in the NFL, it's more like you just hold on to your butt. Like if you end up getting in a game with the officiating's crazy, so be it. And obviously that was one yesterday. You could make an argument that the calls favored the Raiders to a pretty large degree. I was somebody who bet on the Raiders, so I didn't care very much. But, you know, I don't know if any of that is necessarily good for like the integrity of football or for the viewing experience when like the most important play, like the most important play of that game is a penalty by far.
Yeah.
It's a pass interference at the end. So, and maybe the second and third most might even be pass interferences. Like, I guess the kickoff return would end up coming up at some point. So, so I know kind of a long-winded answer to your question, but I think for football, at least for me, like I don't like go out of my way to figure out officiating and build that in or like try to figure out how it's going to have an impact on the game. So I'm sitting there like, just like you, praying or hoping or whatever, if it's my team or a team I bet on, just that I'm going to get, you know, fair, reasonable officiating, which seems to be harder and harder to come by.
Yeah, I just think it's, well, reasonable. I don't think that there have been far too many games, especially this year, where some of the calls have been unreasonable. They're nonsensical. Now, I know that like the taunting penalties, that kind of thing, maybe players are starting to figure out they can't do really anything anymore. So they have curbed their behavior a little bit. So it's not factoring as much, and it probably won't as the season goes on because players adapt, you know, they get used to it. But otherwise, I don't think you can go in to any game and consider who the officials are going to be, because I really do think that referees and people like to say this guy hates our team. He's going to make it difficult for them. I really don't think that officials go into games thinking that. I really don't. Like, they might have people like it, personal relationships with players or coaches, and they don't like those people. But I don't think they go into games thinking, I'm going to screw this team. Any opportunity I get, I'm going to screw this team. So I don't think it can factor in. It's that in hindsight, after you've placed bets, after you've been following the games, sometimes these calls do end up affecting the outcome. But I just don't think there's any way to prepare for it ahead of time.
Yeah, it's just part of the randomness, and it's part of what you can't account for, which is it's what makes it more of a gamble than even you thought it was when you were trying to figure out what would happen on the field. Even if like you feel like you have a really good number or a really good bet, you feel like there's a bigger discrepancy between two teams than what the market is accounting for. Officials would be one of the ways in which you would, you know, be thrown a little bit more randomness in trying to cash that bet, obviously, than you were expecting. Penalties and officials, weather, missed field goals, turnovers, all these are all things that are kind of unexpected.
Right. Tyler Morales lost his damn mind about Kansas Dayton. We will tell you what happened. In fact, he's going to come back and tell you what happened on You Better You Bet with Ken Barkley and Chris Ranji. You are listening to BetQL.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It does.
So we like to look ahead to some games that are happening next week. And do you even want to go over these games here that don't have a spread or a total yet?
So here, why don't we do this?
What do you do?
I think this is a really good way to approach this. So normally on Friday, we don't play this game, but we have five games that we could actually go over because there were so many teams that played yesterday.
Right.
We can go over each team's next. So for each game, I'll give you my number. If you have a look ahead, you can provide it also. And then we can kind of like, okay, if my number is kind of the correct one or the look ahead, if we have one, we can kind of like, all right, what would we do in that situation? So whatever game you want to do first, I'll just tell you what my number is on the game. And you can do, if you have a look ahead, you can tell me afterwards.
Okay. So then let's go ahead and do Cardinals Bears.
Great. Naturally you pick the Bears game first, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah,
I think we're proceeding in this game. So part of obviously making a number is you have to figure out who the starting quarterback is going to be for each team. That's going to be the most important thing. I think we can proceed still like Andy Dalton. It was announced that Justin Fields had some broken ribs that they found with some extra scans, right? That was came out yesterday.
Yeah, fractured, they called it. Same thing.
Feels like done for season, right? Doesn't it feel
that?
I know they haven't said that, but
they have been, there has been some reporting that he could be ready to go as early as this next week. They say, I don't understand how that's possible.
I can't possibly. Didn't he hurt his ribs? Wasn't that the exact injury
he had
in the college football playoff semifinal too?
Well, I think he had a rib thing earlier in the season also, like bruised ribs or something.
But in the playoff, the Skalski, right, for Clemson, like kneed him in the back. That was like the semifinal. That's like probably how many times can you injure ribs before it becomes, doesn't work like concussions, but still not something that you would love to see already for a mobile quarterback. I mean, not exactly great, but I'm proceeding like it's Andy Dalton is my point. I think there are some who probably feel like it's a tiny upgrade from Dalton over Fields, like just for right now, not for the future, obviously.
Correct.
My rating for both is like pretty similar, and I don't feel confident making like a massive adjustment one way or the other, but we can proceed like it's Dalton. And then the nature of this spread will be dictated by, like, I'm assuming full strength Kyler Murray finally. That's basically what I'm assuming in this game, which is obviously we haven't seen that in a very long time. Arizona coming off their bye, basically. And you would hope that, you know, since he was pretty close to playing against Seattle, that it's going to be full strength Kyler Murray. So I can tell you that my number in the game, if it's full strength Arizona Kyler Murray and it's Andy Dalton, Chicago Bears, is Cardinals by 8.5 with a total of 45. That's my number. Yep. Do we have a look ahead yet in that game?
No, and
with
I was
Kyler. I would doubt it. With Kyler, I would say there's no way somebody's going to put up a number right now, like until we know more, basically. And Bears also have a gruesome injury report that's probably unlikely to get worse or unlikely to get better.
Right.
And you know, if I'm wrong about this number, I'm probably actually wrong where the Cardinals are favored by more, which is crazy to say because I already have them more than a touchdown. But like, the Bears just closed 1.5 at Detroit. Where we weren't sure Goff was even going to play earlier in the week. So like, I mean, it's going to be more, I think it has to be more than a touchdown, obviously. Or maybe people feel like it doesn't. You know what? I'm actually going to take that back. I think it should be more than a touchdown. The only example I would give for why it shouldn't be is Baltimore 2 weeks ago, pre Lamar Jackson being sick, was sitting 6 at Chicago. So maybe if you view Arizona and Baltimore as the same, if the total's absolutely rock bottom low enough, maybe it's like 6.5, 7. I guess I take that back. My number's more than a touchdown in the game, though. What do you, Chris? Does that make sense to you, or would you?
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. I can't see, even if Fields plays in this game, and who knows if they decide to throw him out there and he's hindered at all because
Arizona.
Of the rib injury.
God, if he played, oh man.
Well, if
Arizona's, the defense is no joke. He's not going to complete a pass against that defense. Like,
no, it's, I don't know. I don't like the idea of throwing him out there unless he's 100%. But the way Matt Nagy has been operating, he probably prefer not playing him at all. To be honest, he'd probably rather have his guy, Andy Dalton. So both teams are going to have significant rest. The Cardinals have a bye week this week. They're not going to play. Obviously, the Bears played yesterday. So both teams get a lot of
rest.
I don't think that matters. Yeah, I don't think it's, since they both get so much rest, I don't think that really factors in unless you get guys healthy and back. But if Kyler Murray plays in this game, I think it's easily a touchdown, even though they're going to be in Chicago. easily a touchdown.
Something 7-10 range. And this is we like to talk in ranges on the show too, because like even if we don't hit the nail on the head number wise, like, you know, if it's from 0 to 2.5 or 0 to 3, right, like under 3, those numbers are all kind of about the same in terms of like making a number. Like if it's 1 and I make it 2, that doesn't really make me want to make a bet because the score is not going to land 1 or 2 very often, I guess, unless it's a Bears game now. But so I think Arizona, I feel like more than like the 7-10 range, the 7.5-10 range, like more than a touchdown, but how much more, I'm not sure. The Baltimore opener is the only thing that now I'm kind of like side eyeing the opener in the Baltimore game. I'm like, man, like Baltimore was really 6 in that game. And like, maybe Arizona could be just seven, I guess. But like, that's tough. That's really like, that's if it's Kyler coming back. I think more than a touchdown makes a ton of sense. So yeah, I don't know if I'm going to have a bet in that game. That a lot of people, if it's in that range, man, the world is going to tease Arizona in that game. 2-team 6-pointer, get them under 3. That's going to be like a locked and loaded bet, I think, for a lot of people in that situation.
And honestly, as much as I like Fields, I think what you said earlier, that right now, Andy Dalton is probably going to give you a better chance to win for right now, for this game.
There's no question,
it's
right?
It's all about
the experience.
Is that
even a debate at this point? Like, you're in Chicago. Is that a debate right now?
Yeah, totally. I think people think that the skill set Fields has gives them a better opportunity to win no matter what. And I would agree the skill set does. I think the experience isn't there yet. Now, if you look at the game he had 2 games ago, the last one where he got injured and then he was out for the remainder, the game prior to that, and then they had the bye week. The game prior to the bye week, he was outstanding. He was really, really good. So I think
the game prior to the bye week was San Francisco, right? Was that the game prior to the bye week?
Yeah. He was good in that game.
He played San Francisco was prior to the bye week, or Pittsburgh was prior to the bye week? Pittsburgh.
Now I can't remember. Was it prior to the bye week? Okay, yeah. But yeah, he was just really good in that game. So I think that's kind of why they're all on board with Fields playing and think he gives them a better chance to win. I think right now, just because of Dalton's experience, he does for this moment, but you could get to a time by week 15, week 16 or so, if Fields is playing every week, where you would put that to bed. You know, maybe Fields has gotten the experience,
sure,
and now you feel like, all right, he's more capable of starting every day. But
really, really interesting paths for the 5 rookie quarterbacks this year, by the way. Like, we started the year and it was like, which of these 5 is going to win offensive rookie of the year? Like, everyone had an opinion on them. I thought we did a good job on our show of saying like, okay, like it could be one of them, but it could also be one of the very good wide receivers. Now, we didn't land on Chase like some people did, but like, you know, whether it was Waddle or Devontae Smith had an awesome, especially the last few weeks as the Eagles have taken off, or Najee Harris, who's like incredible workload for a team that has no like quarterback or offensive line, and still obviously like puts up pretty big numbers every week. So it's been really interesting to watch this offensive rookie class. And talk about quarterback trajectories, like Lawrence, Wilson, who's obviously hurt and plays the Jets, Fields, who we just went over, Lance, who basically hasn't played,
Trey Lance,
Mac Jones, who now everybody thinks is going to make the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, just like really the trajectories of these guys, I'm not even sure we still know who's good and who's not. It's really funny.
Well, and it, as far as the rookies of the year, Kyle Pitts was my pick, just because I thought
there was a lot of value in it,
and I thought he was going to be great. All right, well, more NFL when we come back. Ken Barkley, Chris Ronji, You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's Ken Barkley and Chris Ronji on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
In for Costos today on this Black Friday, where people are out and about. Hopefully you are, and in the crowds and being careful and not
spending
being pummeled
Gucci
by
bucks.
Somebody else. Yeah, yeah. Spending your Gucci bucks is a good day to do
your
that.
Your Tom Ford cash, your Tommy bucks, your TF cash. Yeah, so,
Your Tommy bucks. So we wanted to keep you updated on some of the games that are happening right now. Iowa's Goodson just broke off for like a 30-yard run. They're threatening to score. Iowa-Nebraska is tied at 21. Nebraska had a 21-9 lead. Yeah. And we're in the fourth quarter. That was, you guys got Nebraska at -1, correct? You and
I have them just for like a really small bet, because I just, to be contrarian, didn't end up putting like anything close to a full unit on. I have them -1 just to have something going on during the show. And Tyler, you have -1 also, right?
Yep, normal bet for me, so this isn't fun.
Yeah. Sorry. It must sound, when I do that, that's got to be insufferable. Sorry about that. Where it's like, well, I don't have like a lot on it. And you're like, I have a lot on it. So stop, please. Please stop doing that.
Oh.
We've got Illinois, Chicago, 6.5. They're down 7 at the half. So stay tuned. We'll see what ends up happening with that second half of that number. And then golf is just, I don't know. Like, Tyler, you're watching this probably, well, you're probably watching Iowa, Nebraska. Like, is this fun? That's my question. Like, I'm watching it with no sound, so I'm not consuming the event like everyone else is. Like, is this a fun thing to watch?
I mean, I've had it on. It's not the best. The tee shots have been terrible. No one's really hit a good shot except Brooks.
Well, Bryson just shanked it on the second hole, right? He was like way right.
Yeah. And neither of these guys are like really funny or like good on TV. So it's kind of right. Just like awkward. Like,
that's like, Koepka's right. Thing. Like, Koepka's yeah. Not fun. Like, he's not funny.
Yeah.
He's just like and a Bryson, cool bro.
Basically. And Bryson, yeah. He is made a like bro. A joke. Made like a joke on the first tee box. He's like, I brought here's Brooks cupcakes, and it was like cupcakes with Brooks Koepka's face in it, and like nobody laughed. And he was just hanging around.
Okay, that's actually then, that's really unintentionally hilarious. Actually,
and then he just went and hit the tee shot, and they just
so he going. brought a basket of cup like a box of cupcakes to the first tee.
Yep.
And he said these are Brooks cupcakes.
Yeah, I guess they that's were had his of, face on it.
That I mean,
that's one of those things that like it sounds funny for like 2 seconds, and then you should immediately snap out of it before you go get the cupcakes and be like, this is. We need to stop on this one. We need to kind of reconsider here. Go back to the writer's room.
It's not
Brooks
great.
Cupcakes. Right. And also yeah. Like what? That's such a Bryson thing to do though. It's actually kind of funny because it's just, he's so awkward and it's just really weird. I don't know. So what are we? So they have the first hole. Looks like Bryson, what, hit his second shot in the bunker. So he's hitting 3 right now. And they're wearing shorts. How casual. All right. Well, we'll keep people updated on this. It just doesn't seem like that fun. I don't know. Just like,
yeah, I don't. I don't know. The exhibition.
Like, what are they going to do? Fight each
really,
other? Like,
yeah.
So there's no like.
Now, if there was a real threat of that, I'm in.
Yeah, but it's and, like it's golf. They're not even going to trash talk that much. Like, it's just going to be. I don't know. It's going to be kind of lame, probably. That's okay.
And
it's
just to,
nice to have golf on, actually.
Just to make your days even worse. Iowa's just taking a 27-21 lead.
Time it there. Well, they win. Yeah.
With 2:58 left to go in the game.
So Nebraska headed for what will be their 9th close loss of the year, right? Are they 3-8 right now?
They're 3-8, yep.
And they're 3-8 with like almost a plus point differential, which is impossible. And here we go again, playing another game where they had a lead, get a close game. Man, should I have teased Nebraska? Well, not when they were minus. When they were like 1.5 or 2, I probably should have teased them earlier in the week. Just like the only team in college football that I would ever tease, the Minnesota Vikings of college football.
And I really felt Iowa in this game. I thought
you felt them.
Yeah, I felt them. Yeah. I didn't do it, but I felt it. I felt it in my bones. Should have done it. Didn't do it, and now I'm going to regret it. And by the way, the extra point is good. 28-21 now.
Naturally.
Is the score.
All right, well, let's change the subject. What NFL game you want to do next?
Yeah. Well, and also you wanted me to update you on the Cincinnati game. That's just underway.
Oh,
they're
right.
About done with the first quarter. East Carolina is up 3-0 over number 4 Cincinnati, a team that is in the CFP as of right now. So 1:10 left to go in the first quarter. Back to the NFL and another team that played yesterday and another game that doesn't have a total or a spread yet.
Detroit. But we have mine. So when you have mine, that's all you need, buddy. That's all you need.
We only need yours. It is Detroit. It is Minnesota. Again, no spread, no total. Minnesota will play in San Francisco this Sunday. The Lions just lost. And they've been losing all year. They haven't won yet. I don't believe this is going to be the day next Sunday either, Ken.
Not likely. We can see what kind of condition Minnesota comes out of the San Francisco game in. They still have defensive guys banged up. Some of them played last week. We don't have to get into the Everson Griffin thing, obviously, but Minnesota's got on-field issues, I guess, let's say at least. In terms of this matchup, this is it's a divisional game, so it's a rematch game of a game that took place earlier this season. The game was in Minnesota the first time, obviously. They closed a 10-point favorite and won by 2. That was a really wild game where I think Madison was playing for Dalvin Cook in that game, fumbled like in their own territory, and the Lions scored a touchdown to tie the game or take the leader. To lead by 1, right? And then Cousins came down and kicked a field goal in like 30 seconds, basically. But a weird under game where the Lions like covered a big number. And we had Detroit in that game. actually, as a 10-point underdog. So, okay, we obviously switch home fields. Minnesota's home field is actually generally really good. You actually get a bunch of credit for them in that. But a couple things have happened from that game, and that was a long time ago. I mean, that game was, week four, something like that? That game was week five. Obviously, since then, my rating for Detroit has gotten a little bit worse. They've gotten more injured, and their defense continues to be just a train wreck. So my rating for them has gone down off that game. And my rating for Minnesota, I think, has probably stayed about the same, maybe gone up a little bit. But Minnesota I've had pretty rated, like, as a slightly better than league average team, I think, the entire year. So we kind of flip home fields, but a lot's happened since then. So it's not just going to be a straight home field swap for the number, which would probably give you something like 6.5. My number in this game is actually really similar to the Arizona-Chicago game. I'm assuming Jared Goff, obviously going to continue to be the starting quarterback for the Lions. It won't be Tim Boyle, but we'll see. I guess DeAndre Swift status, we're gonna have to check on that too. I have Minnesota as a 9-point favorite, with a total of 46. And I think this game, Chris, just kind of sets up kind of like the Arizona Chicago game. Both teams that come out of that Chicago Detroit game playing playoff contending types teams, like highly rated teams. Arizona rated a little bit better than Minnesota, but not surprising, I think, to see a spread in this zone of, like, you know, 7-10, basically, like that kind of area. I don't think I would be very surprised with how kind of beat up and poorly Detroit has been playing, really, that I don't think you're going to get less than a touchdown in this game. Like, that seems very unlikely to me. I'm just going back through some of their previous closes and some other situations. Like, could I make a case that that's what it's going to be? I mean, you know, Philly was 3 at their place. Okay. The Pittsburgh game was very odd, obviously. The Cleveland game had a ton of weather and Tim Boyle. So, like, it's tough to get a recent baseline. I guess if Detroit was like 3, 3.5 against Cincy and Philly, would they be a slightly smaller number here? So that'll be interesting. I might end up with a Minnesota bet in this game if that's the case. So my number in the game is 9. What would I guess the opener will be? I'm going to guess the opener will be 7, actually. That's going to be my guess for what this game opens at. And we'll see what kind of action we take from there. I will probably bet Minnesota when that happens. But let's see. So a lot depends. Like, what condition do they exit the Niners game in? That game actually might end up being a brawl. Right. And the Niners are playing very well right now. And obviously, that's a West Coast game. And then you're back-to-back road off a team with extra rest. So that might get built in a little bit more, too. So I'm going to say opener 7. And I will probably bet the Vikings at that point. But let's see what happens.
I think you're looking at least a touchdown in this one, and maybe closer to the 9 you were talking about, but at least 7. I think that's where it opens, and it probably finishes closer to the 9 that you mentioned.
Which is funny, right? Because the Vikings only play close games. That's what makes this game very funny. Like, all the Vikings do is they win and lose by 3, and that's in that first Lions game. Like, one of the reasons I had a number edge on the Lions in that game also, but it also made sense because of how the Vikings have played. So yeah, maybe I put a little bit more thought into it. Just like, what number do I really want to bet the Vikings at open, or do I want to just wait? Like, do I need 6.5 at open with how they've generally played close games against everybody? I guess that's an interesting dynamic, because I obviously haven't thought about betting the game yet that much, because it's, you know, Friday. But another thing worth considering: the Vikings are not a team that blows out teams typically. I mean, that's an interesting thing to throw in there as well.
Except this team, this Detroit team, and I know that Minnesota has a tendency to play.
They're worthy of getting blown out.
Competition. They are so bad, and they are so poorly coached.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just look at how Dan Campbell handled the last possession they had of the game yesterday, just back-to-back timeouts because they didn't know what they were doing. And this was a rule that I wasn't aware of, that if there are back-to-back timeouts called, that you get a penalty for that. And all it did was move the Bears closer to the end zone. They ended up scoring. It's just not a very well-coached
big
team. And I think
that game too, obviously, for people holding all kinds of different tickets, obviously Bears score at the end. If you were holding Lions numbers from early in the week, you could have been in a tough spot, basically. But thankfully, the Bears managed to take, I think that final possession was, 6 minutes, something like that. They literally took it all the way down and scored on the last play. I think there were 5 minutes left. They were at midfield, which it gives you an idea of how agonizing that drive probably was to watch as a Lions fan. So yeah, my initial thought here is my number 9 and 46. I think we get an opener that's less and probably have to make a decision about whether to bet Minnesota. I think that's where I am there.
The that drive you're talking about was a microcosm of the game itself. Just excruciating the entire time, I think. All right, how about Washington, the football team, in Vegas Las Vegas just winning their game against the Cowboys yesterday.
Great win.
And yeah, a really good win, and the officiating did not factor at all. 36-33 in overtime. Vegas wins that one in Dallas in the throw-up ball game. That's what Jerry Jones called it. Throw-up ball. I don't know what
that means. Really what he called it?
He did. He called it, and I don't think he meant it like puke ball. I think he meant it like just, air? You know, toss up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like toss up or coin, like it's a coin flip game. Or like just, they just throw it up and the referees throw up a flag because yes. it's pass interference. Just throw the ball
something
up.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's Jerry.
In his brain, he was probably like, nailed it. All everybody around him was like, good one, sir.
What?
That was great. Got his the equivalent of like Waylon Smithers around him. Like, excellent, excellent joke, sir.
Oh God, he's really something, man. Yeah. So
Mr. Burns of the NFL.
You know what? He really is. Washington at Vegas. Vegas is a -1.5 favorite as of right now. The total for the game set at 48 as of now.
Yeah, my total was a little bit higher than that, but I understand. I think where that comes from. I'm 49. My total is 49. My projection for the spread was basically the same. I was Vegas -1. It'll be interesting to see if Washington can generate the type of momentum that it seems possible based on kind of their recent play. So for people who haven't followed Washington very closely, extremely underachieving first part of the season, prior to their bye, which occurred in week 9, they were 2-6. Their only wins were against the Giants and Atlanta. Those were also the two games they were favored. Two of the three games they were favored in. I beg your pardon. Mm-hmm. They were favored against the Chargers in week 1 when we didn't know a lot about either team. Defensive line has had a bunch of injuries. Sweat and Chase Young, obviously. Heinicke has been like enigmatic, but like has made a bunch of plays recently, which has been pretty interesting. So they go into that bye at week 8, 2-6. They come out of it and play Tampa. It felt like a weird game when we were doing the show Sunday morning. I was typing in our chat to Nick, like, are they live in this game? Tampa was in a weird spot too, and just like off a bye, and Washington underperformed so poorly. They actually beat Tampa outright. So out of the bye, went against Tampa. Then I loved them against Carolina last week. I thought that line was nuts, and actually won that game outright. So generating like a little positive momentum here, which is kind of interesting going into the Seattle game. Like if they, and they're favored in Seattle, and I think Nick and I are both going to be on Seattle in the game, but if they kind of show out in this game, I think it's really interesting in what that sets up the market to be like next week. Not to a big degree, like Washington's not going to be favored by 6 or something if that happens. But if they like put a big performance on tape in a primetime game after back-to-back wins, so now it's like 3 in a row, division starts to become an interesting conversation because Dallas now can't stop losing, basically, which is kind of interesting with Philly and with Washington. It'll be interesting, like, do they get bet a little bit in this game? Like, do they end up closing like a 1 or a 2, 2.5 favorite on the road if they start to kind of keep putting together this type of momentum? Now, Vegas gave you a great performance as well, but I think the idea of Washington like kind of making a little run here in the second half of the season is a little intriguing, just because you can obviously look at their performances pre and post bye and kind of draw a bunch of conclusions about that they're playing a little bit better, even though they're undermanned, obviously. So, you know, an interesting game. I don't think a game that I will have a bet on. I don't think this is like, I think this is going to end up sub 3 either way. Total's probably going to be close to this. And I think it's just going to be a game where, you know, try to find like a teaser, like to add in or something. Did you have if you heard like pick for this game, Chris, does it make you want to bet anything?
I'm going to keep an eye on it. If I had to put a bet in now on it, I think I would take Vegas with the 1.5. That is, I mean, look, they're going to get extra rest. The Monday night game, Washington's going to have to play, so they'll have less of it. Again, you mentioned they'll play Seattle. It's going to be at home, but Vegas with the extra rest, it's only 1.5. They're going to be at
home. Long travel too. So Washington's going to play Monday night and then have to travel cross country.
Yeah.
That's
so
part of it.
It's right. So they're going to get an extra 4 days of rest or three, four days of rest, as opposed to what Washington will get. So I don't know. I kind of like it. I'm going to wait on it. And I'll probably regret it because the line will move and I'll wish I would have taken it at 1.5. But if I had to do it right now, it would be that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think this is probably not a game that's going to move a ton. This strikes me as like very close to pick and probably a case for both sides.
We still have a couple of other games that we can get to with our segment Pencil, Pen, Blood, or Blank. We'll do that with Ken Barkley and Chris Ranji next on You Better You Bet.